Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the Happiness Hangout. This is Lori Peters, and we are again here live and very excited to have all of our listeners on for our show today. And we are the Happiness Hangout, the place for you to come, a place and a space for you to feel your best. And today we're going to be talking about how social media affects your life in positive ways. And perhaps there may be even some negative ways it's affecting your life. And perhaps you might want to make some changes there once you hear about some of the very interesting information we're going to talk about today. Just a little bit of information to start up front. If you're not aware, Americans spend about 7.6 hours a month using social media. About 45% of internet users are age 65 or older now are on Facebook. And that's up 35% since 2012. And very interesting, there's some other stats about that we'll get to later about people using it in ways that might not be very helpful to them. And then we're going to talk a lot about ways you can use social media to feel your best. Today, I'm very excited to have our guest, Gary Loper. He is a Twitter expert, business, life, and social media coach, making an impact one tweet at a time. Gary Loper uses his passion for social media to make a difference 140 characters at a time. He shares powerful ways he has used social media and particularly Twitter to share motivational messages, spread his mission, as well as building better relationships and connections. Gary, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Thanks, Lori. It's great to be able to be with you. And yeah, there's a lot of things about social media. I was amazed at that number. That means there's probably 29 other people who aren't using Twitter because I use about 7 hours a day.
I hear you. There's 50 million tweets a day go out from Twitter, which is amazing. I was looking at the Twitter happiness report and to see how people felt on Twitter. And it's it's just amazing how many people are using it. And I have to admit to you, I am now a Twitter. I'm like, how do I say this? I don't think I'm obsessed with Twitter, but I refused to get on it for so many years. And then finally, when I created my Happiness Hangout and I have my professional speaking business and marketing myself, I have to tell you, of the five social media outlets that I use, I love Twitter the most.
Yep. And it's okay. You can be able to admit, say, hi, my name is Lori, and I'm a tweetaholic.
I hope I'm not a tweetaholic yet, I get on it and it's so easy to go through. It's so easy to look at things and retweet. You can get lots of good information so quickly.
You can, but one of the biggest things I think that, and that's part of the overwhelm factor for a lot of people when they get on, because there is so much and there's so much to walk. And if you don't come on Twitter with a focus in a purpose. So if you're on for your business, then you stay on your business. You know, if you want to look at social, then you can be able to schedule some other time for social. But I think that's where people get lost, is they see all of these tweets and all of these things they want to be able to look at, and they just start chasing down rabbit holes and you just never come out. So one of the ways that, you know, we look at it, the perspective, you're in a football stadium, and there's 100,000 people in the stadium, and they're all having conversations. Are you going to want to go around and find out what every conversation is? Or are you going to want to try to find a way to find out the conversations that you want to be involved in? And I think that's one of the biggest things that you got to look at is Twitter is, you know, it can be overwhelming, but there's so many little corners and little sub-communities that you can be able to go find. And like when you talked about some of the negative impact, that doesn't affect me because I don't pay any attention to it and I don't attract that to me. So we wind up having a happy, positive stream.
Oh, definitely. I know that you do. And I think it's very interesting. If you don't mind, would you get into what specifically you do with social media? in terms of, you know, how you use it in positive ways, your motivational messages, and how you do it.
Okay, well, I probably can start out with how I started on Twitter, because it sort of evolves around the things. Is I got introduced to Twitter in 2008, and so it took me a couple months to be able to get on. But once I got on, you know, Twitter was like a year and a half old. So everybody was just kind of fumbling around with it. Later on in 2008, in late November, I had a position as a massage therapist doing massage for clients with special needs. That job gave me a lot of emotional fulfillment and as well as financial compensation. Well, that position was eliminated, you know, just in a drop of a hat. So that income and that emotional connection was gone. I fell into a funk, and I got locked in the couch for a while. So what I remembered a way to get myself up was that I had been collecting motivational messages since I started studying personal development in 1989. So I just started – I went to my documents, and I started reading those messages, and then I started – said, well, okay, let's share this on Twitter. And I shared it on Twitter primarily, very selfishly, to be able to help boost myself up. Mm-hmm. But what I found instantaneously was that people were responding to those messages. They were retweeting them. They were commenting. There were questions. We were having all sorts of conversations. So it's just, you know, it was just a matter of, you know, creating that. And that, in doing that, in getting that feedback, to me, that was a sense, it was a tap for me. It said, okay, Gary, you've been a coach since 1999. You haven't done much with it. So you're going to use Twitter as a coaching vehicle. And so I've been using Twitter since then, you know, sharing motivational messages, because motivational messages is something that people need every day. Like Zig Ziglar say, they say that motivation doesn't last, but either it is bathing. That's why you need to do it every day.
Right.
And everybody, for now it's more than 7 years that I've been on, every day people are commenting about thanking me for the timeliness of that message. So what I really found was that Twitter was probably the best, like you found, was the best for conversation and the best to be able to attract people. And I really saw a lot of people, you know, still using a lot of that push sales marketing. I don't think it ever worked before, but people were still in that. And, you know, say, come and buy my stuff, you know, click on this and do this and get this, you know, and I think people just get overwhelmed with information. Right. So my strategy is that, you know, this is a relationship building tool. It's like dating. You don't want to try to close a date on close a deal on the first date. You know, it may have some success, probably not, but relationships that develop over time, 10, 15, 20 dates before the deal is closed, has a better chance of sustaining the long run. And I think that in doing that, we can be able to attract an audience that is well connected to our message, and they're going to be able to, one, be great supporters of us. And a huge benefit that I found was they then share my messages with their audience. So, you know, I've got 133,000 followers on Twitter. So if, you know, a number of those people retweet that, then I'm reaching even more people. So I got a potential reach of millions of people just for people, going through that. And that's, you know, all it takes is the time to load the tweet and get it out there and show up and connect.
But and how did you get all of those followers? Is it from retweeting? Is that the main way? Because it's people are retweeting what you're saying, and that's how people want to follow you.
There's a lot of different ways. In the very beginning, I put those messages out. So that was one way. People saw those messages, so they started following me. So they saw that I had great content, and I was putting it out. And I was persistent. I was there every single day. Another way you can be able to do it is, you know, who are the leaders in your industry? You know, when I first started, you know, Dave LeConte was the first person who introduced me. Bob Berg was, you know, a good friend of ours as well. And there's in a number of the Hay House authors, Tony Robbins, all those people who had influenced me in one way or another. I went and found them on Twitter and started retweeting them. And the people that were, you know, like Bob and Dave were, you know, very conversationalists, and you would be able to have conversations with them. So what I did was, I've learned how to become a good, you know, get to have people follow me. I had to become a great follower first. So you have to follow, you have to go follow people, go see that. So I had to go see what Bob was doing, see what Dave was doing, see what Scott was doing, see what all of these people were doing, and then take what I liked about it and then duplicate that. And then also be able to look then is like, okay, where's a part of my personality? How can I be able to extend and create that differentiation? Because, you know, we don't want a bunch of robots and clones, everybody doing the same thing. And that's the differentiation I'm sure, you know, we can talk about is people want to be able to connect with somebody and they're looking for a reason to connect with you. Primarily, they're on Twitter. You know, if you're on Twitter for business, the people that you're going to be reaching, those people are absolutely 100% looking for solutions to their problems, and they don't care about you. They don't care about me. They want to care about their problems. So if they can find a reason to be able to connect with us and they can be able to feel comfortable and build a trust and rapport, we can be able to do that. So, you know, there's a number of ways you can do that. Is, you know, the motivational messages is a great way to be able to enhance the people's lives. You also want to be, you know, tweets to be entertaining. You want to be educational, and you want to create engagement. And this is a key thing too for a lot of people as they get overwhelmed, is they get on Twitter and say, oh, well, I'm going to get engagement, so I'm going to put this question up. Mm-hmm. Well, if your audience has never seen you communicate with anybody else, they're not going to answer because they're watching. 40% of the active users on Twitter are voyeurs. You know, they're watching. They don't know you yet, and they're waiting to be able to build that rapport. But like you said, when you're doing your speaking events, isn't it true about 40-50% of your audience is sitting there with their head down and they're taking notes, and the other half of the audience, they're more engaged? Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing on Twitter. There are people who are sitting there absorbing it, going, you know, bringing it in, and that's the connection. And I really, those connections have wound up being more powerful to me than some of the ones who just came out and were very, you know, bold and asking questions and very vocal at times. It's mm-hmm. So quiet ones. And then, you know, I realized, like you said, everybody that you're connected to is connected to thousands, hundreds of thousands of other people. So they become the gatekeeper.
So if I'm brand new at this, and let's say that I know a lot of people use it for their business organizations, perhaps they're in a volunteer organization they have passion for and they want to use Twitter, or maybe personally, part of my mantra is, yes, I do professional speaking on happiness and well-being. I also am very passionate about putting out information, which, you know, is obviously, you know, relationship building. I build relationships. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have different reasons, as I just mentioned, for doing it. So are you saying if I were to start out new and I know what I want to do, and, you know, I understand I have to build relationships and put good information out that people either want to follow or answer, get questions answered, whatever. You're saying post information, but also follow other people or organizations that make sense to you. And mm-hmm. as you follow them, you can retweet what they say because what I'm really trying to figure out is if I want to do this, how one gets followers. And well, what I hear you saying is post and then retweet maybe other people's things.
Yep. And really, if to start out on Twitter, and I know that a lot of people, when I tell them this, if you're starting out on Twitter for your for business, you need to be tweeting 20 times a day. Otherwise, you're going to be invisible. And I get that response from everybody because they don't stop and realize that. You know, just, you know, 7 to 10 of those messages should be retweets. You know, 2 or 3 of them should be responses to somebody else's messages. Mm. You know, a couple of those would be the articles that you met, you know, that are supportive of you, of your information. Like if you're a wellness expert, don't give us your company literature or go back to your page on how your thing can cure the conchus of bonkus. Mm-hmm. You know, use Hopkins, use Mayo Clinic, use some third party kind of thing to be able to say, hey, I'm a health expert. This is validation, and we're in alignment with this.
Right. Because I've noticed, and I have to tell you, I'm getting about 4 to 6 followers a day. Mm-hmm. And I really, and I will be honest with you, I just got on and started writing things. I started following people. I do a ton of retweets. And I am getting followers, and I don't even know how they're finding me. And I'm thinking it's because I am retweeting other people's stuff, quote unquote.
Well, that's a good part of it, because like if you're one, if you retweeted my material, so then people who are doing a search on me, you'll see that you retweeted Gary. So in doing that, people say, "Oh, okay. Well, if Lori likes Gary stuff, let's go check out what Lori is." So it's you can kind of ride on the coattails of somebody else's influence. Or if you get engaged into their conversation, even a bigger conversation, look at your mentors, look at your coaches. Because a lot of times those people have people within their list and on their community who are also going to be interested in what you have to be able to share and services to be able to provide for. So it's like, who else has got your audience? And go look at them. And it's, you know, you're not really trying to be able to steal your audience, you're just sort of borrowing their attention, and because it's like the playing field's leveled. You know,
it's funny. I just did it out of what I loved. I didn't really know what I was doing. And it's funny because there is this one called mindfulness meditation. And you're right. They are putting things out constantly. And there's another person I love, Deb Scott. And I'm constantly liking, retweeting. After these people probably, especially Deb, I think she probably knows. I mean, I retweet everything she has. Mm-hmm. So I understand now when I see so much. And they're short, little, wonderful blurbs for people. And you know, just as a, you know, we're not being selfish here, but what's your Twitter? We're going to do some information about you later, but what is your Twitter handle so people can find you?
At Gary Loper, GaryLoper.
I figured it was that easy, at Gary Loper. And you would do a lot of really amazing motivational messages for people. Can you tell us just a few really good stories about messages that you put out there that you think have helped, you know, change lives, brought more, you know, happiness or joy or contentment to people?
Well, there are so many. It's like I said, every day somebody will comment about it, and occasionally we'll get some, you know, get some powerful letters about it. But I think the most impactful message happened in February 2015. And actually, it was 14. Was, you know, one day this girl she tweeted me, and she says, "I can never thank you for what your tweets have done for me." Wow. So I asked her to email me so she could be able to explain. So she writes, and within the second line, I'm crying, and it's just like overwhelmed. She confided that she had a debilitating disease, and it was getting the best of her. She was contemplating suicide. Until one of my just for today affirmations showed up in her tweet stream. And for some reason that resonated with her, and she decided, I'm going to stay. I'm going to do the best I can, and I'm going to help other people who have got the same condition so they can be able to do the best they can. And, you know, that's the amazing thing. And what that really showed me, one, was there was the responsibility for me to be able to keep those messages flowing, because I know that people are going to be touched whether I know about it or not. It's really that butterfly effect that, you know, butterfly flaps his wings on one side of the earth and there's a, you know, tsunami on the other.
Right.
It really can be able to grow. And so I have a firm belief that in sharing these positive messages, it does a number of things. One, it enhances the lives of other people. It touches them in a way that they can have a better day. So regardless of whether they work with me or not, I know that I'm having an impact in the day. And I know that, you know, from being a healing arts, an energy healer and things, also having MLM experience and a lot of other things, you know, you talk to a lot of people and the main thing that they want to do is they want to positively impact the lives of other people. And so this is one of the ways that I do that is through Twitter, is we can be able to share that. One of the motivations was in the Go-Giver, the law of compensation. It states that your compensation is determined on how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So I'm just looking at, you know, I'm expecting abundance. I'm expecting the miracles, and I want big things. So I know that I have to be able to reach big people, a large number of people, to be able to touch their lives. And knowing that that's going to happen. But what that also does is that creates that differentiation, because people can count on my messages being there every day. So they've got me listed. They can go watch for my stuff specifically all the time. And what also happens is that turns on an attraction magnet. So other people who are resonating to that same quality of message will come closer to me, and they'll reach out and say, "Hey, Gary, you know, can you come on my radio show? Can you, you know, do you want to be part of this summit?" All of these different things, because then we wind up attracting people who are same vibration, and that just eliminates all of the rejection, because I don't like rejection. You know, it's, you know, I'm fearful for a lot of that stuff. But in doing this, I can eliminate that rejection possibility, because I'm attracting people who want to be able to spend time with me, who want to be able to talk with me, and who might want to work with me, or at least refer people to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely, I would recommend at Gary Loper, GaryLoper. If you're new to Twitter, just go to twitter.com. It's really a quick sign up, and then your first follower should be at Gary Loper. And it's funny, Gary, because, you know, I thought, oh, this is – Twitter's cheesy. It's just quick little things. I had no idea what I was talking about. Now I get on that thing, and I see the messages, because like I said, I mentioned a few that I follow, and I think, oh, my God, that's so good. Wow, that's – even in 140 characters, there's some really powerful – information that gets out there that I have the need to retweet to people. Mm-hmm. And I have the need to get out there, because I've even read things to people. I'll be on and go, oh my gosh, I have to read to you what this says. Didn't we just go through this? Or isn't this an appropriate message for me to hear today because of whatever that just happened, whether it was good, bad, or ugly? You know, I thought, oh, this is perfect right now. Wow. That, and I'll write, sometimes I'll write comments too. And I thought, this is way more than I ever believed it was.
Oh, it is so impactful. And, you know, Twitter was designed as this virtual town square where anybody can do and say anything without any filters. And so there's a lot of different niches for people to go find it. So, you know, just go and look for the things that will motivate you, or the conversations you want to be able to have. You know, and I know that you got a break coming soon, but I know that, you know, Twitter is about to change. You know, I just heard that they're going to eliminate the 140 character limit.
I heard it too, and I'm not sure that's a good thing. What do you think?
I don't like it. I don't like it, because what that's going to do, that's just going to be able to fill up all my streams with long posts, and, you know, people are just going to look, it's going to be much more advertising, and people aren't going, they're going to lose that art of relationship. They're going to lose the art of being able to, you know, attraction marketing. You know, I teach people, when you have, you know, for your blog post, you should be writing multiple titles for each of your blog posts, so you get the attention of a lot of different people. You know, they're just not going to fall in love with your post. So I really think it's going to change. And, you know, if we like it or not, it's going to change, and we'll just have to adapt to it. But I'll probably add more things to my tweet stream, but I will still have all of my messages that are under 140 characters. I do have a couple files of things that are about 200 characters, but I'm going to keep that, and I'll just add more to it and just be able to add more value and depth to it. But it's, you know, it's just a change.
What I like about it is just today when I was, I promote the show a lot of different ways, a lot of different times. When I had to go to Twitter, I had to take my message and do it in a way that it would be, I put the most pertinent information, just what you need to know up front. And for the first time, I had people make comments and do things that they had never done before. It's kind of an art to be able to figure out how to do it in 140 characters. And I thought, you know what, this really says what I want to say. And it really got, some more steam to it because of the way I worded it.
Well, that's exactly right. And so what happens there is Twitter is search engine optimized, and Twitter's got a great search tool that they can be able to utilize. So if people are looking for a particular topic or a word, they can search for that and they can bring up every tweet that has that. So what you did unconsciously is a very good thing is, what are people going to type into Google? What are they going to search for? And so you can come up in those searches. So I think a lot of people, forget about that. There's a lot of conversation that go on, but if you're there, your business, what are your keywords on your website? What are the words that, you're going to solve problems for and be able to tap into those things?
Right. Well, another thing I'd like to get into, I know at the end, I really would like to talk about, more of the technical side of how people can really, like you say, master their Twitterverse and how they can go about doing this in a way that'll be really effective. So what I think I'm going to do right now is we're going to take a little break. I'm going to take callers. We're going to talk about a little bit about social media addiction and overdoing it. And then we're going to finish out with really how to master your Twitterverse. So we're going to go ahead and go to break for just a couple minutes. And we will be back talking much more about social media and how to use it to serve you well. Want to find a space to participate in reading, activities, interactive blog, and much more? Check out www.happinesshangout.net. Looking for a speaker or workshop around the area of happiness? We customize presentations to fit your needs. Just click on the My Services tab at the website. You can also support the site by shopping at Amazon or one of our other affiliates. Just go to www.happinesshangout.net. and click on the shopping link or go to my page here at BBS Radio. Welcome back, everyone. This is the Happiness Hangout with Gary Loper. We're talking about social media. We've been talking quite a bit about Twitter and how to use it in a way to serve you well and serve other people well. So what we really wanted to get into now is there's been a lot of talk and there's actually research studies around being addicted to social media. And a lot, Gary, a lot of what people are talking about is being addicted to Facebook specifically. People are using it to raise their self-esteem with likes and comments. And at times, they look to it to create their self-worth. It can also create gossip if used in the wrong way. So we really need to find ways to keep social media in perspective. And, there are people out there, you go to dinner. I have rules around social media. When I go to dinner, my phone stays in my purse. If I have an emergency and I need to check something, I let people know. But there are certain places where you will have my undivided attention, and that smartphone will be in my purse or be, far away from my reach. Because I find that people have to set boundaries. And I see a number of people sitting at places on their phones in front of other people. So, I think sometimes we might be starting to struggle with the need to be connected all the time. I've even heard people in my research say, if I'm not connected, I am stressed out and I cannot sleep at night. And those of you out there who are listening might be thinking about this. Are you one of those people who perhaps might be, unable to disconnect? There's programs out there where they send you 2 weeks to a program to disconnect from social media, believe it or not. Are you disconnecting? Are you able to put the phone down and talk to people? And I would maybe our listeners give that a thought for a minute. And Gary, I just wonder what your thoughts are on balancing and disconnecting when needed.
Well, balancing is cool. You know, there's a lot of things that you covered. Probably one of the biggest things to start with and point of understanding is I think it's the primary human need is for validation. And if we don't get validation, you know, we don't have the self-esteem. We don't have those things because we need that feedback so we can be able to have that confidence in that we're doing something right. And I think there's a lot of things, you know, because I grew up and a lot of my motivation about building better relationships is based on the fact of emotionally unavailable parents and a whole family kind of thing. So, you know, there was a part of it and I went through a depressing time and I turned to Twitter to be able to find it and find connection. And I think what happens is if you have that, you know, the depression, the disconnection, not being validated, and there's another segment of disabled population. My wife has got a disability, and so she can't get out as much anymore. So a lot of her connections, you know, people in those in that kind of condition are reliant on finding communities and finding like people that they can connect with and not feel alone, which gets back to that validation. So I think that's what's happened is, you know, they can't find it at home. They can't find it in their community. And it's easy to be able to pick up the phone or turn the computer on and go find somebody who's going to accept you. And right. I think that, you know, if we look at a bottom line psychological thing, and I'm not an expert, I'm not a doctor, I don't play one on TV, but it's just, you know, from my own personal experience, if we can stop and listen, like you said, you put your phone away, you know, so the greatest gift we can give somebody is their attention. But there's also a lot of things is, you know, for me, my parents were never able to connect with me in the way that I needed to and still aren't. So it's I have to be able to accept that.
Right. And I will tell you, callers, just real quick, Gary, if you would like to call in and talk about social media and how it affects your life, I want to give you a couple phone numbers. 888-627-6008. That's a toll-free number to speak live on the air. 888-627-6008. And then also, you can call direct at 323-744-4831. Give us a call and talk about how social media affects your life. I'm sorry, Gary, to interrupt you, but I want to make sure our callers get a chance to call in. Yeah, no, go ahead.
I think so. We touched on a lot of those things. You know, the self-esteem is something that I really think needs to be built up, and we need to have that confidence. And you know, but we need to have, like you said, you need to have that balance. So one of the things that, you know, we always tell people is, you know, take things to the next level, just like in, you know, their dating metaphor. If you meet somebody on social media, you have this connection, pick up the phone, get on Skype and start talking to them one-on-one. I think that's what I heard in your voice and I heard from some of the other things is the people are afraid that this human conversation is going to disappear. Oh, it's just something, a picture just popped into my mind because I think that they said, you know, they talked about this. Everybody's got their head down and they're working on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a picture back in the 20s where people were waiting at the train station and every single one of them had a newspaper open.
Oh, okay. So we're just replacing one thing for another.
Yeah. So I really don't think it's any different, but it's just, you know, people were always buried their head into something, whether it's a TV or anything else. Now we've got a lot of options and go find it. So it's,
yeah.
And I think, you know, even on that gossip aspect, you know, always say, you know, don't put anything out there that you know, because the internet doesn't forget. Even if you delete it, it's still going to be there. And if people do a search on you and your name and they go find something, it's going to be bad. You know, it will register as bad for you. You know, employers and family members. And, you know, if you're trying to be able to build your business, people are going to be able to judge you on what you tweet because, you know, it's like how you do anything is how you'll do everything. So, you know, don't put yourself in the position where people can gossip. You know, I determined I'm going to be about motivation, inspiration, teaching, Twitter, coaching, and, you know, very little of my private life is on it. I think in the 7 years I've been on Twitter, I probably only sent about 10 Packer tweets during Packer games.
Right.
Because I know that that's not part of my brand. And so, you know, again, so it's, you know, stay on purpose. You know, so when people look at your profile, they should be able to see what you're about, and that's what they're going to expect when they go through your stream. So, you know, again, so if your stream is all filled with all sorts of different things, you know, confused mind will never buy. So just think about how this is going to look when people click on your Twitter page and they scroll down and they see that you're all over the place with these messages and this rant or this TV show or this or that, or you're complaining about a relationship. It's like, you know.
Right. Well, Facebook's the big one because it is more personal. And I'll be honest with you, and we do have a caller waiting, so we're going to get to her. I will be honest with you, you know, when I go somewhere, I don't post everything till after. I really don't. First of all, I don't necessarily need to tell the world where I am every minute, and that's everyone's personal preference. But, you know, if I'm gone, I really don't feel comfortable stating where I am every minute just because, you know, I don't know that the world needs to know that. And everybody's different about that. But
they don't. And you have to be able to look at things. I know when I've done events, you know, and, you know, so you encourage the audience to be able to live tweet. And that's good. But I could never do it. You know, I got hired a couple times to tweet for an event, and I did it. I sat back at my laptop. I didn't get as much out of it. For me, I need to sit and take notes and write it down.
Right.
For me, the act of writing it down, then I can go back and I'll write tweets all night long based on my notes.
But right.
It's hard for me to be able to process, and so that's just what I know. You know, other people may work differently, but, yeah, you don't need to – everybody – you know, nobody needs to know, but – you know, they talk about, you know, the lunch thing, and, you know, said it just brought up a funny story because I know was it Jack Dorsey, one of the founders of Twitter. Somebody asked him, he said, you know, what about all of these, what I had for lunch tweets?
I know, it's sort of, I don't care. I have to admit, I don't care. You know, but Gary, I want to stop us here because we have two calls waiting. People want to talk to you. So first, let's start with Anne Marie on line one. Anne Marie, are you there? Hi, welcome to Happiness Hangout. What's your question or comment?
So my question / comment would be like, what is your opinion? You know, all of these things are going on in the world these days, school shootings, you know, suicides, and maybe that leads into the transgender thing. Like, how, you know, is social media and being so out there, how do you think it's affecting, you know, people's decisions to, sorry, I have dogs in the background.
That's okay. Me too.
Right? They happen. How do you think that's affecting life these days? I mean, putting yourself out there so much, or I guess seeing other people's, you know, what's going on in their life and not being happy about your own life, maybe wanting to make a name for yourself. How do you see that going on now? Maybe you see things changing. How bad can it get is kind of my question.
Well, It depends on your perspective. So I really think, you know, world news breaks on Twitter, and there's a lot of other things, and even like other social media. But I know for me, my perspective is I'm looking at learning. So, you know, if there's some big topics, like some of the ones that you've mentioned, I think social media is a great tool for you to be able to look objectively at all sides of the situation, so you can make a best determination and what's right for you. A long time ago, I held up my hand and said, you know, I'm going to question everything in my life and make sure that they're my decisions, not somebody's programmed decisions into me. And and in order to do that, we need information. So I think if you use it as information, it's great because you can be able to be much more informed and more, and I think, you know, more evolved in going through that. But there's also,
isn't it a case of you? I apologize too. I was thinking, do you think it's almost like the case of like people just wanting to be in the spotlight, and that's maybe where social media is going bad?
Well, I think everybody wants their attention, but I don't think that they know how to go at it well. You know, and that's one of I don't know. You know, I know it's a lot of it out there, but I know in my stream, you know, I post the messages, I attract the people, I interact with people who are of the same likeness and mindset as mine. So I rarely really see any of that. And that's part of the reason why I'm not on Facebook very much, because there's just a lot of stuff that I can't control what gets inputted into me. And so I want to, that's the filter that I'm going to put on. I'm just going to read stuff that empowers me and makes me better. But I would hope that other people could be able to do the same, but I know that's part of an education. I don't think that there's part of a, you know, life skills are not taught on so many levels. You know, social media is one aspect. It's a tipping point, but it's a lot of other things as parents, as families, as communities that we don't know how to do. We don't know how to be able to teach these things to our kids. And I think if we admit that we can't do it and seek out help, then we might be able to turn the corner. But I know, you know, go ahead.
And, you know, Gary and Anne-Marie, too, I will say that I see what you're on to, Gary, because, you know, all these things are now being put in our face that weren't so easily accessible before. So the question is, how do I process that information? Mm-hmm. Do I process it in a way that feels really uncomfortable, really negative? I don't know how to deal with it. Or do we process it in a way that's like, okay, I have all this information and I'm going to go learn about these things. I'm going to go understand them better. I'm going to go help the situation. There's so much coming at us. We have to be strong. I think we have to be strong within ourselves, and exactly. We have to be pretty developed people to be able to handle all this, because it's coming at us at a level it never has before. So, Emery, like you said, all these negative things as well. I mean, I tend to look at a lot of really good, healthy, you know, positive things. And when I see other things, I'll think to myself, you know, how can I help? What can I do? How do I process this in a way that's good for me, that I can, you know, be healthy and put good things out there from it? Because, you know, we didn't stop, you know, shootings, but maybe we become more aware of it. And maybe we think to ourselves, okay, this happened, and, you know, I want us to be safe, but I don't want to focus on it so much that it puts fear in me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you have to know yourself and be comfortable so you don't do that.
Right. And I think what can happen is, you know, for situations, you know, I won't tweet about it, but I'm in favor of gun control and going through that. But there's a part of mental health that needs to be brought into some of these things. So you just can't look at the school shooting and say, okay, that's bad, so we just have to stop that. It's like saying, okay, you know, domestic violence, you know, it's not right to do that. Well, yeah, it's not right to do that, but there are underlying causes. It's kind of the iceberg effect. So if we just deal with the big result, you're never going to get anywhere because you're just spinning. But you got to go find out what's happening underneath and start communicating again. You know, like we started out saying, it's validation. So why are these people looking to be able to make it get attention? Because they feel invisible. Nobody hears them. They got picked on. They got bullied. Whatever it is, you know, they're looking for some of that stuff, and they're seeing it in a wrong way. And I know that we're getting off of Twitter, but, you know, what are the games and the movies and a lot of other things that are show this violence and everything else? And then we wonder why, you know, kids are violent and reacting the way that they are. It's like you're programming them. So stop the program, and maybe some of the other stuff downstream won't happen as much.
Right. Well, Anne-Marie, thank you so much for calling into the show.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Okay, we have Marianne on line two. Marianne, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome to Happiness Hangout. Do you have a question or comment for Gary?
Yes, Gary, I learned a lot about Twitter. I guess I just always thought of Twitter as being some way that athletes sent out a message to people. I absolutely didn't know that I could get on and learn from you, so I'm happy to know about that.
Yep, there's over 300 million people on Twitter, so it's not just for athletes or celebrities.
Well, that I learned about that tonight on this program. What do you think about children and their time on online that they spend, and how do you think that should be regulated by a family?
Well, I'm a long way from things. I know that, you know, my kids are all grown and back in Wisconsin. I'm living in Florida, so I don't have that personal daily interaction with that. But I know that one of the things that you want to be able to look at doing is teaching them. You know, if I were to do it, I'm probably going to look at, you know, teaching them how to do that, or watching them, sitting with them and showing them how to respond, or seeing what their thought is and talking to them why they want to respond that way. Because, they, you know, if they just go off on their own, they don't know the way, they're going to get lost. So we need to look at it. But, you know, we have to look at things like all the other conversations. What's age appropriate? And there's a lot of spots on Twitter that, you know, are easily accessible, that aren't, that wouldn't be child friendly.
Well, I wasn't thinking necessarily.
There's no filters for that. But it's, and again, you know, we've heard a lot of things about you know, some of the cyberbullying and they're you know, using it that way and stuff. It's like, I don't think that these kids really have their minds formulated enough for them to be able to process and know what the ramifications are of what they're doing. So, you know, for me, if it were me, I, you know, you don't get on till you're 18. You know, but I was a bartender for a long time, and I think that, you know, drinking age should be 25 for everybody, because I don't think you can't put something into somebody and they're not mentally or emotionally formed and be able to expect them to be able to be responsible. And I think it's the same way, you know, we're putting things into kids that just don't have the wiring yet, and maybe some of these parents don't have the wiring and they don't understand. And that's where you can be able to look at is, you know, is there a good coach that you can be able to go and talk to and be able to say, what can we do? Or let's work out a situation. You know, we got to be able to be open to be teachable, because if the parents, we don't know what the answer to our question, we got to go find the answer for their kids, because if they go find it for themselves, we may not like the result.
Correct. Well, thank you very much, Gary and Larry. My
pleasure.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Happy tweeting.
Well, you know, Gary, a brain isn't fully developed until it's, you know, we're 23 years old. Human beings are 23 years old. So, you know, I know a lot of parents, you know, filter that and check those things in terms of, because younger people are typically aren't on Facebook, but they're on other things like Snapchat, Instagram, etc. Yeah. So they're doing those things. And again, I think parents have to be extremely involved. Because again, you know, you have a 13-year-old child, a young adult, no, not an adult, a young teen, let's say, who starts to see these things about school shootings. If I would have seen that at my age, I would have been terrified to go to school. And you need that person you can talk to about it, to get it in perspective for you, to discuss it, let you talk about your feelings. And the schools have to respond to these things, because everything is out there.
Right. And we probably got to start. We got to start at a family. And if we can't do that, we got to upgrade our associations where we can be able to learn how to be able to deal with them better. You know, a lot of these things are facts of life, and regrettably will probably continue to happen. There will probably always be war. You know, I love, you know, I'm a hippie. I'm going to, you know, always push for peace. But I realize that, you know, just human beings, the way that they are, there's always going to be this conflict, this lever that goes back and forth each way from good and bad. And that's going to be – and they act as examples of what not to do or what more we want to be able to do. And I think that's another great thing about social media is you can go see all the bad stuff. You can see all the good stuff. And again, where do you want to be? What feels better to you?
Right. And, you know, I found this study. 2/3 of participants on social media reported difficulty relaxing and sleeping after they used the site. 55% said they felt worried or uncomfortable when they were unable to log onto their social media accounts. I mean, that's really scary. And you know, we will take one more call. I just want to put this out there. The number is 888-627-6008. Well, so, I mean, that's scary.
It can be, but I know that I'm just wondering what the change might be, because another change that Twitter rumored this week was that they were going to drop the retweet and favorite counts. So so you wouldn't be able to go and get a lot of retweets and a lot of favorites. So those numbers aren't going to show up anymore. And I think that if one social media site is going to do it, it may go to other sites. So that's going to totally change your perspective on marketing and the whole mindset about, oh, I get 100 likes. Well, I think sometimes, and even for business, that just becomes a contest. It doesn't mean anything, because I can go and like a bunch of your stuff and never read it. So it's
true.
Let's just look for ways to be able to teach better people skills and life skills that they're not looking for something else in just a number, to about building better relationships and connections. That's really, I think that's a bottom line. Mm-hmm. Look at it. It's like, okay, so if social media brings up these questions, that means there's an issue that we need to be able to address on a small scale, because I think that all problems need to be solved on a small scale first. You can't go yell at the government and say, well, go fix this. Well, the government is a representation of the consciousness of the people who voted there at the time. So the consciousness of the people have to change before your government or any regulations are going to be able to change. So it's up to us. We have to take that responsibility and be able to do it, and don't expect somebody else to police or
right.
Or fix it for us.
Right. I will tell you, we'll take one more call. We've got Janet on line one. Janet, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. What's your question or your comment?
Well, I was just thinking, like, the whole issue with social media is, I also think of the saying, misery loves company. Everybody knows all about the negative things that's going on in the world. Is with everything, we should have, people need to start posting positive things and reassuring things and happy things. I'm so sick of seeing all the negativity. And I really think that, like, what you put out is what you get. And I think we need to all start putting out more positive and happy things rather than hearing about, like, saying I heard earlier with the school shootings and the negativity. It's done and over with. We need to turn that around.
Well, start following me on Twitter or on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and Google. I vow to be able to share positive messages. And just it starts with our associations. Like what you said is like attracts like. So once if we take that responsibility to not let some of that stuff in,
Right.
It's so important because we've got to have that balance. And, I always said I wanted to create a network on a TV show that was all positive, good stuff. And I think Oprah kind of did that with the OWN network, is starting to do that. But, there's all kinds of stuff in the world you can't control. That what we can control is
our reaction to it.
Yes, yeah. And how we deal with it and how we process it and how we get through it. And in terms of, I see so many people take the same story and turn it into something that's helpful or a more, here, I don't want to say that terrible things are positive. They're not,
Laurie,
ways that are helpful.
Let me add something, because this is one of my philosophies. It's a Napoleon Hill quote that said that there's a seed of good within every experience that we have. So there's a seed of good in everything. So I look at every situation, every fight with my wife, every other conflict or anything else. Once the dust settles, I'm looking at it. Okay, so what's come up and what can be resolved from this? How can it get better? And, I use the metaphor that all of those other experiences in your life, they're all poo, right? And so, but what does the farmer do with it, all that extra manure? So what he does is he's going to go out there and, turn the soil, plant the seed, fold it back over, and then add the old manure on top of it to be able to fertilize the new seed. So we can take bits and pieces of our past and those good things and the bad things and objectively learn from them to be able to move forward. And that's one of my biggest passions and that's how I turned around a lot of my stories in my life, was looking for a positive outcome from a lot of hellacious experiences.
Right, because that's, you have two.
I'm sorry, Janet, we didn't hear.
I'm sorry. No, it would be nice to have, like, I mean, even though if there's negative outcomes, we have to look at a positive and a negative.
Right. Yep. I think that's what we look at. So it's, you know, just, connect with other people, on Twitter. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. I know we're bumping up on time, but, I use the hashtag happiness a lot. I think I have over 400 happiness messages that I rotate through my tweet stream. So if you just look at hashtag happy, hashtag happiness, you're going to find a lot of people who are using that term. And that's one of the tools that I'm using to, find new followers is I'm going to go look for people who are using the terms that are important to me, and I'm going to connect with those people. Mm-hmm. And so.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we do have about a less than a minute left. I do want to mention that Gary and Shanna, thanks for calling. That you can follow Gary at Gary Loper, LOPER, and you can follow me at Happy Hangout. The first place to start getting a grasp on Twitter is to get a copy of Gary's free ebook at bit.ly/GaryMIKE, T as in Tom. Also, you can do a free consultation. This is big. A free consultation on Twitter or anything else regarding developing mindset, personal or business development, and relationship marketing. 30 minutes of Gary's time is worth quite a bit of money, so you got to get on his calendar. Now, I have all this posted. If you go to my radio show page, bbsradio.com/happinesshangout, you will click on Gary's name under guests, and his information to schedule a time with him is there. So, Gary, we could have gone on so much more tonight. And you were amazing, and I really suggest following Gary, and I suggest getting a consultation with him, especially if you really want to use Twitter to its maximum.
I appreciate the time. It's wonderful, and I know we opened up a lot of new conversation. So this was new to me, but it's important to people, and we need to be able to give them some information to help them create the change and feel more happiness in their life.
Gary, thank you so much. You're a wonderful guest. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And watch for the podcast. You can hear this again, pass it on to others. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the Happiness Hangout. Want to find a space to participate in reading, activities, interactive blog, and much more? Check out www.happinesshangout.net. Looking for a speaker or workshop around the area of happiness? We customize presentations to fit your needs. Just click on the My Services tab at the website. You can also support the site by shopping at Amazon or one of our other affiliates. Just go to www.happinesshangout.net and click on the shopping link or go to my page here at BBS Radio.